Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to the Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. And welcome to another programme of hymns and their stories. This is actually the fifth in the series. So are you ready for a real treat, both in terms of the lovely music and also some very interesting background to the hymns? Right, let's get started with a real blockbuster. This hymn was written by none other than Jesus himself. His disciples approached him one day and said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And Jesus taught them to say the Lord's Prayer. That's why it's called the Lord's Prayer, if you think about it. The Lord Jesus taught them it, so it's straight from the horse's mouth. It's not just one prayer for the 12 disciples to use once. It's a model for all prayer by everyone, everywhere. We can pray any way we want to, but our prayer should include praising God, saying sorry for sins, thanking God for daily bread and other things, and asking for things especially that God's will might be done. The Lord's Prayer has been recited for over 2,000 years now, but it was put into music by Albert Hay Mallott. He had made a mess of his life, a bit like the prodigal son in Jesus' famous parable, and he was returning home like the prodigal son, his tail between his legs. Albert had started as a choir boy and had studied music in Philadelphia. But he'd left home and gone off the rails and eventually spent all his money. He wrote to his father asking for the money to pay for his train fare to come home. On the way home, he was thinking about his own situation and about the prodigal son and the Lord's Prayer, which begins, "Our Father." Over the next few years, Albert Hay Mallott worked for Walt Disney, writing the scores for 15 animated films and for the ballet of Little Red Riding Hood. He became quite successful in his field. For a few years he'd been chewing over putting the Lord's Prayer to music. When he finally did it, he called his parents and sang it to them as the world premiere. When he finished singing, there was a stunned silence and then tears of joy, and his parents threw their arms around their beloved reformed prodigal son. Lots of folk have sung the Lord's Prayer since then. So here are two versions, one by the priests and one by Cliff Richard. This is his Top of the Pops version in the year 1999 to 2000. In other words, his millennium prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation.
Oh, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive each one of those who sins against us. And lead us not to the time of trial, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven.
In the year 1858, churches throughout the city of Philadelphia in the United States joined together in a citywide evangelistic campaign to win new Christians. Every morning and evening, services were held not only in churches but also in convention halls and theatres. A man called Dudley Ting, that's T-Y-N-G, a 29-year-old Episcopalian preacher, spoke to 5,000 people. And 1,000 of them responded to the gospel invitation to give their lives to Jesus. Just 4 days later, Dudley Ting was tragically injured while watching a corn threshing machine in a barn on his family farm. He caught his loose sleeve between the cogs and his arm was severely torn. A main artery was cut and he was losing a great deal of blood. As he lay dying, he whispered to his father, "Stand up for Jesus, Father, and tell my fellow preachers to stand up for Jesus." Next Sunday, one of his friends, the Presbyterian minister, George Duffield, preached on the text, "Stand Therefore." And in his conclusion, he read a poem which he'd just written that week, entitled, Stand Up for Jesus. Later, the words were set to music. And here's Randy Rothwell now to sing it.
His army shall be.
In our congregation in Saltcoats North Parish Church, we have a lady member called Irene Crozier. She lives just a few blocks from this studio. Well, her great-great-great, great-great-great, great-granddad, that's seven greats, was a man called William Cooper. It's spelt C-O-W-P-E-R, but pronounced Cooper. He lived in the 18th century from 1731 to 1800. Cooper was a poet, and he loved walking because it gave him inspiration. Walking was also good therapy for him because he had tried to commit suicide three times and had been in hospital twice for mental health issues. While in hospital, he became a Christian, and after he got out of hospital, he became good friends with John Newton. That's the slave trader who became a Christian minister and later wrote hymns including Amazing Grace. The two of them liked walking and writing poetry, and they shared the same sense of humour. They had a friendly hymn writing competition between themselves. Sometimes the two men read the Bible together in Newton's garden, and one morning Cooper was reading the passage in Genesis about how Enoch walked with God. That's all we know about Enoch, but what a lovely epitaph for anybody's life. He walked with God. William Cooper thought it was great for him to walk with John Newton, his friend and fellow pilgrim through life. But how much greater to walk with Jesus through the journey of life, and to walk face to face with him in eternity. So he was inspired to write the famous hymn, "Oh, for a Closer Walk with God," sung here by the BBC Welsh Chorus. On a similar theme is the next hymn, "Nearer My God to Thee." Its author, Sarah Flower Adams, 1805 to 1848, often had to say sad farewells. When she was only 5 years old, her mother died. At the age of 32, she was an actress playing Lady Macbeth in London's Richmond Theatre, but she had to say farewell to her promising acting career due to ill health. Then her sister's health was also failing, and she feared the approaching farewell to her sister. Sarah Adams began to question her faith. Why did God seem so far away sometimes? However, when her minister asked her and her sister to help him to make up a hymn book, They responded eagerly, and between them they composed 13 hymns and 62 tunes. When the minister mentioned that he was going to preach on Jacob's dream about a ladder from where he was sleeping right up to heaven, with angels coming and going on it, and that he needed a hymn to go with that story, Sarah Adams quickly composed this hymn, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." In her own life, she learned that each step we take, even the difficult and painful farewells, takes us one step nearer to God. This is Bryn Terfel singing it. Kate Hankey, 1834 to 1911, was the daughter of a prosperous British banker, and she grew up in a stylish London suburb. She started a Bible class for girls in her neighbourhood, and when she was only 18, she taught a Bible class of factory girls. In her 20s, she taught several Bible classes for factory girls. But when Kate Hankey was in her 30s, she became seriously ill. Doctors said she needed a year of bed rest, which meant that she was forbidden to teach her Bible classes for 12 months. During her long, slow recovery, she wrote two lengthy poems. The first at the beginning of her convalescence later became the famous hymn, "Tell Me the Old, Old Story," and the second, written 10 months later, was the equally famous hymn, "I Love to Tell the Story." As soon as she could, she returned to her Bible classes in London and continued teaching for many years. When Kate Hankey became too old to teach the factory girls regularly, she started a prison ministry in London and so continued to tell the story of Jesus. Derek Carroll also loves to sing the story.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else will do. I love to tell the story, 'twill be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Albert Brumley, 1905 to 1977, was the son of tenant farmers in the Indian Territory of the state of Oklahoma in the United States of America. He quit school as early as possible, age 15, and did not have much of a future to look forward to. He faced the prospect of picking cotton for the rest of his life. Then, when he was 16 years old, he attended a singing school in his farm community of Rock Island, and discovered to his surprise that he could sing better than most adults, and he could harmonize too. So at 19, he went to a music school in the Ozark Mountains to learn how to write music. He dropped out of the music school after only a year and went back to picking cotton. But one day, while he was picking away the cotton, he started singing a popular song called the Prisoner's Song. Well, he thought to himself, that's what I am, a prisoner trapped here picking cotton for the rest of my life. It is hard labor. Then he spotted a little bird flying away to a better place. This gave young Albert Brumley an idea for a song. He returned to the music school and continued to struggle with his bright idea for a song. 7 years later, he felt that the song was ready to be published. Immediately, it became a favourite. In time, Albert Brumley became known as the world's most recorded songwriter. But none of his other songs quite rivaled the popularity of his best-known one, I'll Fly Away. Here's Carrie Smith, the great gospel singer, to sing it.
Some glad morning, when this life is over,
I'll fly away,
I'm gonna fly away,
I'll fly away.
I'm going to that home where door will never end, you know.
Well, I'll have to fly away now too, because our precious 30 minutes of the Holy Half Hour are nearly up. But let's finish with one more remarkable hymn and its background story. James Black was the president of his local youth group, and it was one of his duties to call the roll each week to register who was present and who was absent. He was especially glad to see a particular teenage girl starting to attend for a few weeks. Recently, he had seen her sitting on the front steps of her house, and he had invited her to come to the church youth group. He knew that her father was a drunkard and that she had no Christian training at home. But one Sunday evening, as he called out the names one by one on his weekly roll call, he called out her name and there was no answer. He called her name again, still no answer. Somebody informed him that she was seriously ill. She was suffering from pneumonia, and just 10 days later she tragically died. James Black reflected on what a sad thing it would be if we missed the great roll call in heaven when the Lamb's Book of Life is opened and our names are read out. When James went home after the youth meeting, he wrote the words of our final hymn, "When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there." In about 15 minutes, he wrote the three verses and the chorus. Can you sing it with conviction? Bye for now.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the utter shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll